Let's read today's scripture from Mark chapter 3, verse 20 to 30. I'll read one verse and you follow. Verse 20, then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, he is possessed by Beelzebub. By the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. He said this because they were saying he has an evil spirit. Today's message is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. When Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathering. So apparently this is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. And the ministry turned out very, very successful. Wherever Jesus go, the crowd follow. And actually the beginning of the ministry pretty much focused on healing illness and also driving out demons from people. And it was so many people came to Jesus, and Jesus and his disciples tried to help them. So busy, because the demand was so high that they even not able to eat. I kind of briefly calculated, if a person require probably 20 minutes, within an hour, you only can handle 3 people in a very quick way. That's my experience. So how can keep me extremely exhausted only 20 people a day, then I'll be flat, because that take me 8 hours. And Jesus was so busy and all together with his disciples, and they couldn't even have their meal. And now we will run into a situation. You will see when God's ministry start to develop and grow, and then you will bring in all kinds of attack. And we'll see there are 2 front lines to attack Jesus' ministry. The first one is from whom? Is from his family. His family member heard about this, and they went to take charge of him. They tried to force him to do something. They take charge of him. And they said in public, in front of people, and say, he is out of his mind. Have you ever experienced this kind of a situation? That someone that you may need to deal with other people, outside circle people, but inside circle people bring up some common for you, and talking about you yourself. And this is a very, very severe damage. It's very destructive testimony. Somehow like a pulling Jesus' leg. See, we look into what their response is. They care about Jesus, right? Because you don't have meal, you should have some lunch. And we care about your health condition. And we don't want you to go kind of crazy, out of your mind. Good intention, maybe even great intention, but those intention coming from the flesh. That's a carnal desire. They don't look, what God sees. And in front of people, see, when I maybe confront with other people outside my family, and I try my best and rebuttal, but if one of my members from a family came out and say, oh, don't listen to him, you know, this guy is baloney, then I'd lose the battle. I don't need to even go further. And this is how Jesus got the attack from his own family member. And once that kind of attack come out, you will see enemy can find the vulnerable spot and attack over there. And that can become a fatal one. And then the teachers of the law who came from Jerusalem, they came all the way, traveled a long distance. And when they got this opportunity, because they got the instruction from Jerusalem, there is someone over there, outside, far away from Jerusalem, and he has drawn so many people to him and caused interruption for our temple business. So we got to send someone over there to monitor, make sure to find anything wrong that that person has done. So the teacher of the law, when they heard the family member of Jesus said he is out of his mind, they attack immediately, say he is possessed by Beelzebub. Beelzebub. That word is actually B-E-E-L, coming from B-A-A-L. It's called Baal. Baal means pagan god. Baal. And Zebub. What is a Zebub? That is a fly. When the fly flying, the noise is Zebub. That is a Zebub. That's how it came out. So Beelzebub. So that is a king of dunghill. That means a king of waste, human waste or animal waste. You will see whenever the human waste or animal waste there, you will see all the fly coming from around that, and bzz, 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 bzz. That's a king of Beelzebub. And also called king of house, because if you got something not good inside the house and you left the window open, those fly were coming in and they will occupy the house. They become the king of house. So that's the name came from. And the teacher of law came from Jerusalem. They attacked Jesus on two aspects. Firstly, they attack he himself. They attack Jesus. They say he is possessed by Beelzebub. They attack himself because that means he is unclean. And then they attack his ministry. They say, by the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. That means his ministry is based on or coming from the evil spirit. That ministry is not right. That ministry is very dangerous. So they attack him, he himself, and also his ministry. See, in the society, if we want to attack enemy, we choose these options. Either attack that person or attack the deed, the action that that person has carried out. And that will wipe out that person, reputation. And that is the enemy trying to attack Jesus and his ministry. We hardly saw Jesus respond to people in a very, very blunt way or very serious way. But this is the time. You will see why Jesus came out with this kind of a response. And actually, Jesus called them. I would guess that include those teachers of the law from Jerusalem. Maybe also disciples, maybe bystanders. Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. Parables. When Jesus bring up parables, that means he still keep the hope, provide opportunity for you, for the people who listen. Allow you to go back and think it over and maybe you got a chance to repent. That's use the parables. And Jesus bring it, try to explain whatever they said in three aspects. The first one is the principle for a warfare. It's a very simple principle. He mentioned that how can Satan drive out Satan? The very simple principle is if a kingdom is divided against itself, a kingdom cannot stand, because otherwise that kingdom becomes a civil, there is a civil war in the kingdom. And if a house divided against itself, the house cannot stand. That has become a domestic feud. That family, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is internal strife. It's very simple. If there's a warfare, one country or one house or one family, they need to unite it together. It cannot be split or divided and then going for a warfare because they attacked his ministry. They say that he drive out demon by the prince of demon. So they are the same kind. They belong the same category. How can the same one they have divided in among themselves, this will not stand. So this is a very simple principle. And then the next one, he gave the principle for casting out demons. He tried to demonstrate. He tried to demonstrate, verse 27, he tried to demonstrate how to cast out demons. Because at that time, Jesus' ministry, everybody pretty much know that he has driven out so many demons from so many people. And many people witnessed, they saw before and after. The people possessed by demons, what they look like. And after Jesus cast out demons, what they turned out. They saw the difference. So everybody knew the fact, the history that Jesus has done, casting out demons. So Jesus tried to tell them that how he cast out demons. He said, in fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possession unless he first tied up the strong man. Over here, he kind of demonstrated this same example because he was in a house. And that house is not his house. So he tried to use the environment, existing environment, to explain. Say, if a strong man coming into this house and carry off or possess the property or the position inside the house, then what can we do? The only way to reclaim the position of the house, the only way is you need to tie up that strong man. And until you tie up that strong man, you cannot do anything. So try to use this as like, the position is the person possessed by demons. And the strong man actually is the demons. So demons had control of the position or the person. And how we can reclaim that position unless there is another stronger one, much stronger one than that strong man, coming in and tied up that strong person, strong man, and then set the position free. And set the people free. And this is the principle of cast out demons. So cast out demon is purely based on the power, nothing else. Who is stronger? That's it. There is no emotional issue. There is no feeling issue. There is even no rational issue. It's just the power, nothing else. And Jesus wants to tell them, you know and you saw I casting out demons, and I much more powerful than the one demon possessed the people. So I can cast out the demon so that man can set free. So this is the principle of casting out demons. So we may understand all of these, but next one, After he explained these two principles, then he said, I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. Actually, at the same event, Jesus did mention in other Gospel, Matthew. See, when we run into the situation that we don't quite understand, or we need more explanation, this is a principle that you need to try to find the same chapter. You try to find the context of the front and the follow, and see what the context talking about the verses that you have questioned. And if you cannot still find answer, then you can expand to the whole chapter or maybe the whole book. But if you still cannot find the answer, then you need to go to another book. But the best way is the other book, the same person talking, the same person talk. Then you can link, and you may find the answer. Not jump out to other books that not the same person or same writer. And that is not the best way. So we expand to the Matthew. And the Matthew also, Jesus talked about the same event. And what Jesus said about this exact situation is this. He said, and so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven the man, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, that means Jesus, will be forgiven. But anyone speak against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. I look up the blasphemy in Google, and that is what I have found. That means irreverent to God or some holy person. That's called blasphemy. Okay, before I clear up, I try to my best to confuse you. See, we Christian, our faith believe Trinity. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So through what Jesus has said, is it clearly to state to us that Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are two individual persons. Is that right? Otherwise, it won't be turned out like this way, right? Otherwise, Jesus would not say, you blaspheme against the Son of God, and you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Apparently, it's two individual persons. So this is clear for us. They are three persons in one God. One and the only one God. So that should be clear. Then the second I try to confuse you is this. Who is greater? If you look at the verses, who is greater? You got to make some choice. If you only look into the context, who is greater? If you blaspheme against Son of God, you against Jesus, will you be forgiven? But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, will you be forgiven? Then let's pause here. Who is greater? If I just only according to this, then you should answer what? The Holy Spirit, right? But would there be a conflict to our faith? There definitely will be conflict with our faith, right? So we need to verify that. Why? How can this? Is that because if you say something not right, irreverence to Jesus, it's okay? You can say whatever to Jesus? Is that true? So we need to also expand further. Then we need to go to the same person, Jesus, talking about the Holy Spirit. And let's read these verses. I'll read one and you follow. Verse 8, when he comes, that means the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt, in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. Okay, we need to understand who is the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit do. We need to learn about this from Jesus, because Jesus also told us about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes to a person, he will convict the person of guilt. Convict a person of guilt means all the evidence, all the fact display in front of the person. And that person look it sincerely, and that person say, I have no rebuttal. Everything is true. I have no argument. I accept whatever the evidence prove. That's called convict of guilt. So we need to know, when the Holy Spirit come to you or come to this world, this is his task. He want to convict you of guilt. And convict the guilt is three aspects. The first one is in regard to sin. In regard to sin. So he want to convict you that the sin of you. And over here, Jesus explained, because men do not believe in me. That is from God's point of view. You do not believe in me. But from your point is what? Is I do not receive Christ. The same. So the Holy Spirit come to you and convicts you, saying you don't have Jesus in you. You don't have it. You don't have Jesus in you. That's called conviction. Sin over here, it's not something like you do. No, this is not the purpose. Over here, the sin is the status. Your status. Holy Spirit want to convict your current status is you don't have Jesus in you, because you don't receive Jesus inside you. This is the status. Because of the status that Jesus is not in me, not within me, I sin. I do something bad. The reason is I don't have Jesus. The result is then I commit sins. And Holy Spirit want to convict you, try to show you, you don't have Jesus in you. And that's called sin. Then secondly is in regard to righteousness. In regard to righteousness. Then you feel that you were convicted. And Jesus explained is, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. I try to illustrate this. Holy Spirit, there is a symbol for Holy Spirit is what? Dove, right? Dove, pigeon, right? See, you know the pigeon. When we take the pigeon to some location far away, and we let the pigeon go where the pigeon go or fly, he will come back to where it started, right? So this is Jesus trying to tell us, I'm going to Father. But how do you know I got to Father, or I arrived at Father's place? How do you know? I let the pigeon go, and that's the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit come to you, then you know what? Where am I? I am over the Father. Why I can be over the Father? Because he accept me. Because I am what? I am righteousness. So you know I got approved from the Father. Father receive me because I'm the righteousness. And I send the Holy Spirit, I send the pigeon come to you. So when the Holy Spirit come to you, you are convicted and you see him no longer, because he is at the right hand side of the Father. And when you see Jesus, he accepted by the Father, he is righteousness, then the Holy Spirit will convict you, you are unrighteousness. Convict you, you are unrighteous. So this is the test the Holy Spirit will do to you. And then in regard to judgment, will convict you. This judgment will convict you. And Jesus explained is because the prince of this world, that means Satan, now stand condemned. Now stand condemned. When Jesus was on the cross, that is a time that Satan was crushed upon his head, and he was condemned. And that is the moment that we start to understand that, yes, Jesus, through death, he overcome the death, and he overcome the sin, and he overcome Satan. And because of this overcome, Satan was condemned. And when the Holy Spirit revealed to us Satan was condemned, it will convict you. Because when you look at Satan, there is a part of Satan also in me. The sin in Satan also in me. So I fell. He was condemned. Satan was condemned. I am condemned too. That is in regard to judgment. So the Holy Spirit will come to you. Try to through maybe Bible, maybe brothers and sisters' testimony, maybe through hymns, somehow, some way, that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you about Jesus. And when Jesus was revealed to you, inside of your heart, you start to respond. You start to respond, yes, I was convicted. I am sinner. Yes, he is righteousness. I am unrighteousness. Satan was condemned. I'm a part of Satan. I also condemned. I feel convicted. And this is the time that people start to call upon Jesus' name and say, help me, save me, a sinner in front of God. This is a test of Holy Spirit. So then Jesus started to tell those teachers of law down from Jerusalem. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. That is exactly what Jesus wants to tell us here. For those teachers of law, they knew about Jesus' ministry. They even heard the testimony that demon was cast out from some people and they were free. They knew very clearly. They know what happened. And they knew unless God's power upon Jesus to drive out the demon, Jesus cannot do it. They knew it. So through the ministry Jesus has already accomplished at that time, the Holy Spirit already convict the teachers of law from Jerusalem. You are a sinner. You are in unrighteousness, and you are condemned as Satan condemned. Their heart touched by Holy Spirit. They knew. But with that kind of a conviction, they choose continue persistently to refuse, to reject that conviction. That is called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, or against the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, the only task come to this world is to reveal Jesus. So Jesus at that time, he was a person stand in front of people. He said, if you blasphemy against this real person here, you still can be forgiven. But inside your spirit, inside your heart, the Holy Spirit, that is something that is not just only by ration, not just by eyes view. But the Holy Spirit start to move your spirit inside you, and you know Jesus is the Lord. You know Jesus is the Savior, and you know He has come to the world to save, and to save you. And you were touched, but you choose to reject, and that turned out blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So, is there anyone here you are very sure about another person, whether he blasphemed against Holy Spirit or not? Can you tell? Can you make that decision? Can you? Nobody can. Nobody. Even a very stubborn person continue to refuse Jesus, you still cannot say that person blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. Only two can know. One is God. God will make that decision. And the other one is that very person. He should know. Because the Holy Spirit, to different person, maybe have different process or procedure. We don't know how long that the Holy Spirit will convict that person. We don't know. We have no way to find out. But that person should know. Because for a certain time, Holy Spirit will pour out God's heart upon that person and let that person respond. That person, when that person listened to maybe the message, maybe the testimony, maybe even the hymns, the songs, he was touched. He knew, I was touched. But if you continue to reject and reject and reject until God's time mature, then the Holy Spirit will move out from you, no longer come back to convict you, no longer to touch your heart. And that is the time, that means the Holy Spirit never visit that person again. So that person will experience something like this. In the past of a certain time, maybe 10 years, maybe 20 years, maybe 1 month, whenever I heard the gospel, I was touched. But I don't know when, a certain time, then after that, no more. Everybody cry about the God, you know, about how Jesus has done to the people, but I don't have any feeling at all. I don't have any sense. That may be the time that the Holy Spirit will say bye. No more. But some people, maybe for the whole life, Holy Spirit continue to do that. Maybe for certain people, maybe only 1 year. That's it. That's called sovereignty of God. When He touch you, when He convict you, you need to grasp that opportunity. Don't let it go because you don't know. It's not in your court to control that situation. When He say, I'm out of here, then that's it. And that is the time truly said. And let me roll it back here. Truly, really, those teachers of law are bad people? Are they really bad people? They are teachers of law. In that society, actually, their moral standard is very high. They are very devotional. They are very religious. They can memorize many, many scriptures, probably even more than you. They even try to do some good things. And they are well respected in the society. Otherwise, they would not stay at that position as a teacher of law. So don't make mistakes, say, those blaspheming people are always a bad guy. In the hell, there are some good guy. I'm telling you the truth. But the only essence is this, is how you deal with Jesus, that creator, that matters. So why we pray the CIA project, why we pray for those people? Because we pray that the Holy Spirit will touch them and release them from the bondage from Satan. So they may set free for a while, so they may have an opportunity to listen to the gospel. That's why we pray. And Holy Spirit will do something that we can to change the big environment so they may have an opportunity to open their heart to God. So most of us here, you will continue to come to worship. I truly believe there's none here that you ever blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. I truly believe that. Because you can check about yourself. Every time you hear the word from the Bible, from God, still touch your heart. That's the best evidence for you, because Holy Spirit still reach you and touch you. And that is a blessing. So we don't know. It's up to God and up to that person's attitude. So we pray. We pray for our friends and loved ones that hopefully their attitude will not change against the Holy Spirit. And that is a word that you blaspheme against Son of God, you still can be forgiven. Because maybe the Holy Spirit, the true, real spiritual work, not reach your spirit yet. So you can be forgiven. Even you blaspheme against Jesus. But until all the work reach your spirit, and the Holy Spirit touch you, at that moment, you need to respond. You need to respond to the gospel. And that is called eternal sin. That means you never ever forgiven, because Holy Spirit give up on you. So we pray for our loved one and friends. They will never encounter or run into that stage and become the totally abandoned from God's kingdom. Now we know what the work of the Holy Spirit. So let us take a moment. Let's pray again for those people in our mind. We live up to them and lift them to the Lord and pray that they will receive God's conviction and love. Let us pray.